Blog Talk Radio. give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can.
Come on, let him know.
I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
What would happen if a generation embraced this? Come on, tell them.
Here I am. Here I am.
I
Beside still waters, he restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. Sometimes the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister Leandria here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story.
Deliver me, 'cause all I seem to do is hurt me, hurt me.
Yeah! Amen, amen. This is my exes delivering me one of my favorite songs. First, give honor to God. Excuse me, who's the head of my life. Welcome, welcome to Worldwide Gospel Connection. It is Women's Day Thursday. I'm super excited. My sister in Christ will be on shortly, Minister Clark. Get your pen, your paper, your Bibles ready, because she has a word just for you from the Lord. The scripture is Isaiah 40:29. He gives strength to the weary and increased power of the weak. Again, Isaiah 40:29 says, he gives strength to the weary and increased the power of the weak. Remember, God does not care about what you did last night nor this morning. All he wants is a yes. He's not aggressive. He's not going to force himself on you. He doesn't want you to know that you're not in this by yourself. Like Apostle and I get on here all the time, you are not in this fight by yourself. Stop letting the enemy have you think that you are. I'm here to tell you that you're not. It's numerous of women and men of God that is here to pray, fast, and push you where you need to be. Stand on the word of God. Know it's not easy, but it's worth it. Just want to give a shout out to all the countries that's listening in, United States, Canada, Brazil, Guyana, Bulgaria, Israel, we just picked up, Mexico, Jamaica, Nigeria, numerous, I don't have my paper with me, but everyone that's listening in, we thank you so much for taking the time out to stop and listen to Worldwide Gospel Connection. It means the world to us, knowing that we are here to inspire and encourage you. Remember, iron sharpens iron, and that's one thing Apostle and I stand on, is sharpening each other. That's what we're supposed to do in the body of Christ. Nobody's perfect, but we're supposed to support one another. Father God, I ask you to come on this morning and have your way. Less of the woman of God and more of you. Speak through her so your people can understand who you are, that they cannot do anything without you, Heavenly Father. Give her the strength that she needs to deliver your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go to a musical break. And when we be back, I will be bringing the woman of God on. Remember, the number is 563-999-3628. Press 1 to speak or if you need prayer. Again, this is a no judgment zone. We're not here to judge you. We're here to help you get what you need. This is birthing season. It's time for you to stand up and take your position.
So good to make it this far, and I didn't think I could take it so long. There were days I wanted to quit, and I said surely this is it, but I held on. And I've watched as so-called friends turn and walked away, and it hurt so much I didn't have words to say. But even when my day turns to night and nothing seems just right, Lord, I thank you for my life, for my life. Lord, I thank you for every victory in you I've seen, and all the moments I know, Lord, it was you who kept me. So I thank you for my life. And I've watched you take my family from there to here. And when times were a little rough, God, I know you were near. Thank you, Jesus. And the moments I thought I'd fail, I was reminded of your nails. So I held on. And if I never live to see another day, there's nothing I would change or take away. I've had so many ups that they far outweigh my downs. Lord, I thank you for my life, for my life. Lord, I thank you for every victory in you I've seen. I could have been one of the ones who lost my way. And there were times, Lord, I know I almost went crazy. Oh, but I'm still here, oh, with my life. So thank you, thank you, Jesus, for my life. It may not be all that I'd hope for, and every dream has not yet been realized, but to see your face. It's all gonna be worth it, yeah, yeah, Lord. So I thank you for, thank you for every mountain, every valley, God, everything that you brought me through. Thank you for. I know it was you, God. I just wanna take the time to say thank you, Jesus. Oh, my life. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for my life.
Amen, amen. I'm going to introduce you to some, and some already know this one powerful woman of God, testimony out of this world, but I'm not going to prolong the time. Minister Clark, are you there?
Praise the Lord.
Good morning, woman of God. My sister, the floor is yours. I have my pen and paper ready, so go right ahead and deliver this word.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Blessings to everyone on today. I just want to pray that Jesus will touch, heal, and deliver and set free on today. Praise God. I pray that he touches me to deliver what he has given me to deliver on today. Praise God. And my scripture is coming from Proverbs 18 and 21. Praise God. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. And God gave me that scripture, but he never gave me what to speak until 4:39 a.m. this morning. And if I would give it a subject, the subject the Holy Ghost gave me, the pink tornado, talking about the tongue, praise God. Praise God. What are we speaking? What are we speaking out of our shot? What are we speaking out of our mouth? Praise God. Are we speaking life praise God, or are we speaking death? Are we speaking what Jesus, praise God, has given us? Are we speaking the promises, praise God, that Jesus has promised us, praise God? Praise God, we are the head and not the tail, praise God. We are the lender and not the borrower, praise God. What are we speaking? Are we speaking life? Are we speaking death? We have to know the time and hour that we're in, praise God. We have to speak what God has spoken of our lives. We have to speak, praise God, the promises of Jesus, the things that Jesus has promised us. That's what we have to speak, because we're in the hour, praise God, where God is doing and bringing forth promises that he has promised us, praise God. We are in an hour of unexpected favor, praise God. We are in an hour of unusual season, praise God. Unexpected miracles, praise God. Unexpected platforms, unexpected money, praise God. Unexpected relationships, new births, praise God. New beginnings, praise God. And it's just not a cliche what I'm saying on today, praise God. What I'm speaking, praise God, the Holy Ghost has given me this, praise God. And we have to look for what God has promised us, praise God, because God's word is not going to come back void. It's going to accomplish, praise God, what the Holy Ghost has given us, praise God. Just like Joseph, praise God, he was in a pit. And we've been in our pit, and you know whatever your pit is, praise God, whatever your prison has been, praise God. We feel like sometimes we've been forgotten about, sabotaged, praise God, lied on, talked about. But Jesus said, this is our hour. This is our time to speak what thus said the Holy Ghost, praise God, over our lives, praise God. If God has promised you a man, a woman of God, a husband, or a wife, praise God, claim what Jesus has claimed over your life, praise God. Walk into the anointing that Jesus has for you, praise God. The word of God said it's the anointing that destroys the yoke, praise God. And my prayer on this morning, praise God, is every promise that Jesus has given us, praise God, we begin to see the manifestation of the Holy Ghost now. I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about today. See the favor. See what God has spoken over our lives to begin to walk in the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost. On Tuesday, our pastor said, where are we at? You know, there's a time and a season for everything. And he asked each individual, where are we at in our life? And I said that I was in, praise God, in the season of the porch and the altar, praise God. I talk about shit. God has been telling me to pray more. Pray more, dear Londa. Pray more. So that's where I'm at. So we have to know the time and the season that we're in for our lives, praise God. And then I say I was in the season, praise God, of healing. You know, my baby passed almost 4 years ago, and I'm still in that season of getting my healing, praise God, but not just healing, praise God, being whole, praise God, wholeness. So that's the two seasons that I do know that I'm in right now, being healed. Whole, praise God. Praying more, praise God. Because when Jesus speak a word, I can just bring forth what he said. And today he said, what are we speaking? Men and women of God, what are we speaking of our lives? Are we speaking death or are we speaking life? We have to know that we are the head, praise God, and not the tail. We are the lenders and not the borrowers. We are above and not beneath, praise God. We should have what God says we can have, and while we are not having it, praise God, there's nothing wrong with the word of God. We have to check ourselves and repent first and foremost for whatever we have done that's not of God, praise God, and he will forgive us. And God will do just what Ekalabasha. And God is going to do, praise God, just what he has promised to do. And God is doing a suddenly, praise God. God is doing a quick work in this hour. Because as we look at it, time is shortened up. Look like it's 8 a.m. right now. And before we know it, it's going to be 10 p.m. So God is shortening up the day, praise God. And God is bringing promises that he's promised, praise God. God is bringing them to pass, praise God. We got to know the time and the seasons that we are in, praise God. And we have to know what are we speaking. What are we speaking? What are we speaking over ourselves? What are we speaking over our kids, our grandkids, praise God, our finances? We might not have it right now. We might not see it, praise God. But, Lord, I know you said that I am the head and not the tail. I am the lender and not the borrower, praise God. And God, I'm in between my blessings right now. But so as you said it, God, I know it's going to come to pass. I'm going to be able to lend. I'm going to be able to give, praise God. In this hour, praise God, that we're in, we're still in this pandemic, praise God. But God is the healer. He is the deliverer, praise God. It don't matter what we're in. But God is going to do what he said he's going to do, praise God. And he's still going to bring forth our promises, praise God. We have our angels at standstill, praise God. We got our angels' hands tied up because we're speaking everything but what God has said, praise God. Our angels are waiting with our finances, with our husbands, wives, praise God. They are standing with their hands tied because we have tied their hands. Because we're speaking what other than what God said, praise God. God's word said it's not good for man to be alone. So if God didn't want us to have a husband or a wife, those that have desired it, he wouldn't have said that in his word. But it is his will, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. We just have to walk in the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost, praise God, and know God is going to do just what he said he was going to do, praise God. We have to speak life. Begin to speak life. Speak life over yourself, praise God, amen. Speak life, praise God. Jesus is going to do what he has spoken, praise God. And I'm sure we all have a lot of prophecies that has not come to pass, but praise God, on today, praise God, and it ain't a cliche, praise God. God is getting ready to do some miraculous things, and I say today. On today, look for it, praise God. God is ready to do us suddenly. I ask you all to unleash our angels, praise God, and allow them to run and bring forth our blessings that Jesus has spoken over our lives, praise God. We don't need another prophecy, praise God. Not another prophecy, praise God. We have many that have not been fulfilled, and it's nothing wrong with God's word. It's us. It's what have we spoken over the things that God has promised us, praise God. Praise God. His word says life, death, and life are in the power of the tongue, praise God. So what have we spoken over our life, praise God? What are we speaking over our life? Because Jesus is going to do just what he said he's going to do. Every desire, praise God. God is ready to bring forth his promises in our lives, praise God. But what he have spoke, what have we spoken, praise God, over ourselves, praise God. In the God's word say, give no thought of tomorrow. Tomorrow going to take care of himself. So I'm saying, repent and look for a word of God, that a promise that has been spoken over your life. Look for it. And I'm talking about today, praise God. Because God's word says he's not man that he should lie, praise God. Nor is he the son of man, praise God, that he should have need to repent. Whatever God has spoken, it shall come to pass. Jesus' word is yes and amen, praise God. Every open door is ready to be opened on today, praise God. Our angel, Tekarabasha, is ready to run and deliver, praise God, what God have promised us,
each and every promise, praise God, that God has spoken of our life, God is ready to perform that on today. And I keep saying it, it's not a cliche, because that's what I keep hearing, praise God, it's not a cliche. God is going to do just what he has promised, praise God, and he is going to do, praise God, because he does not lie. His word will not come back void, praise God. Jesus' word shall not come back void. Never, praise God, is going to do just what he has promised us he's going to do, praise God. Whatever the pit that you was in, today is your day to come up out of it, praise God. Whatever prison you were in, today is the day to come up out of that prison. And sometimes we are locked up in the prison of our mind, praise God. And as the commercial say, the mind is a terrible thing to lose, praise God. And ask God to keep your mind, praise God. Cover us from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. Heal it, Katara, Moshe, God. I feel healing on my side. I feel healing on Moshe, God. I feel healing on Moshe, God. I feel healing on today. Healing right now, Jesus. Healing from the crown of our heads, God. Oh, God, to the sole of our feet, God. Healing in our area of our lives that need a healing, God. Financial healing, God. Oh, my God. A natural healing, God. You know when a tornado comes through, and it tears up pretty much everything that's in its pathway, praise God. Death and life are in the power of our tongue. But today, God's going to do a healing. Yeah, he's going to allow a tornado of the Holy Ghost to go and tear up everything inside of us that's not like him, praise God. Everything that's in us that's not like Jesus, Jesus is going to tear it up on today. Hallelujah, Jesus. And put his anointing, praise God, his anointing, his power, praise God, inside of us to heal, to deliver, and set free on today. On today, not tomorrow, but today. Healing, God. Healing on today. Healing on today, praise God. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Don't speak I'm sick no more, no matter how you feel, no matter what it looked like. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Praise God. I don't care what you see. I don't care what the doctors have said. Say that I am healed by God's stripes. I am healed. Praise God. Declare your healing on today. The Holy Ghost just spoke healing on today. He called Abasha. Healing on today. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Speak life. Speak healing in Amasha. Speak healing over your life on today. Healing, Arabasha. Healing. What are you speaking? Speak healing over your life. Speak healing over your life. God is Jehovah Rapha, our healing. Speak healing on today. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Hila Masha. Hikatonomoshe, God. Hikanonomoshe. Ha. Hikanonomoshe, God. Jesus said, Masha. Hikatababa. Yekodonomoshe, God. Hila Masha. Hikotonomoshe, God. Healing on today. Hey, God. Jesus say healing. Somebody on this line need a healing. God says you are healed. Claim your healing on today, God. Declare your healing on today, men and women of God. Healing, healing on today. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What are you speaking over your life? I don't care what the doctors has said unto you, praise God, but Jesus say healing. Declare your hikar abasa. Declare your healing on namase kotolorosha. Declare your healing on today. Hikar namasa. healing on today. The Holy Ghost say, declare your healing, walk in your healing. Walk in your healing. Hallelujah. Walk in your healing. Walk in your healing on today, men and women of God. I don't know who this is for, but I'm telling you that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost say, receive your healing. Receive your healing. Receive your healing. Say God, ha! Receive here, Kotana Masa. Receive, receive, receive. Receive your healing on today. Receive your hikadabasa. Receive your healing on today. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Receive, receive, receive your healing on today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. And Lord God, I just thank you. I thank you for the Douglases for even allowing me to come on their radio station to be a blessing on this morning and an encourager on this morning, Lord God. And I ask you to bless them like only you can bless. Bless every area of their lives that need a blessing, Jesus. Bless them. Bless them. Just continue to bless them, Lord God. Continue to bless their marriage, Lord God. Just continue to groom them as one, Lord God. As one, God, bless their families, Lord God. Bless the house of God, Abba House. Bless ye, Karabasa. Bless ye, Lobovoshe, God. The blessings of the Lord make it rich and adding no sorrow to what you're doing, Jesus. Oh, God, and I thank you, God. I praise your name. I magnify you, Lord God. Have your way on today, God, in the mighty, miraculous name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Thank you, God.
Amen, amen. Thank you for that powerful word. What are you saying over your life? Oh, my God, that is so powerful that people really don't understand there's power in your tongue. There's power when you say things. You have to be mindful and careful of what you say in this season, this birthing time. You have to be very careful. Father God, I ask you to give back what your daughter gave out. Cover her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, Lord. You know the need and desire, Lord, and we already know it's already done in your name. That we'll touch and agree whatever she needs, a season of open door, a season of overflow. She's been faithful. She's been pressing on your word, and we know all things work together for the good. And we know trouble don't last always. Continue to bless her in God and where she needs to be. Continue for the people to sow into her foundation. Continue to sow into her because she's a giver. She's a server for your people, Lord. And ask you to bless her tremendously in the name of Jesus. Amen. Woman of God, let the people know how they can reach you if they want you to speak or if they want to know more about your foundation or even if they want to sow into your foundation. Let them know how the avenues to get in contact with you.
Praise the Lord. They can actually call me by my number, which is 281-302-8665. And for my foundation, the foundation is actually Chisolosi Foundation. You can email me at transformingcouture@gmail.com. And my number is available at all times, so you can feel free to call me. And my number again is 281-302-8665. Thank you.
Okay, again, thank you so much for coming on Living That Word. Right on time, as always. Trust me, if y'all can't reach her, you can definitely reach me at 832-519-7646. That's Worldwide Gospel Connection and the Abba House phone number. Or you can email us at worldwidegospelconnection@gmail.com. You can also go to Worldwide Gospel Connection on Facebook if you want to go back and hear the woman of God. Even if you want to reach, you can click on her name and go directly to her because she get her everything webpage signed up. No, remember, iron sharpens iron. We're supposed to be on here to encourage and inspire each other, not tear each other down. The enemy has done that enough. It's time for you to stand up, take your position, and do what the Lord called you to do. Stop worrying about what they say about you. That's irrelevant. Worry about what God called you. Focus on his word. Don't be like Lot's wife and look back and lose everything. It's time out for that. It's time for you to take your place, stand up, hold your head up, and walk into your destiny. Time is coming in. It's weighing down. We still don't know the day or know the hour, but what's going on in this world is letting you know it won't be long. Again, remember the number is 563-999-3628. Be blessed and keep trusting God.
Will you put that in this atmosphere? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? Real simple song. I want to teach it to you tonight. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yeah. Whom shall I be afraid? I will wait on you. I will wait on you. You, yes. I will trust in you. Yes, Lord, say. I will trust in you. Y'all help me. The Lord is my light. Everybody sing. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? You say it. Whom shall I be afraid? No, no. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? No, no. Whom shall I fear? I will wait on you. Raise your voice. Hey. I will wait. Go home singing this. I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. Come on, you say it. easiest thing to do, but I will wait on you. Oh, yeah. I will trust in you. Will you raise up your hands and receive Bishop James Morgan?
All right, I'm going straight into the scripture. Y'all pray for me. We're doing a lot of traveling in this season, but God is absolutely amazing, and I love what he's doing in our lives. And so we're headed back to the West Coast to do a show tonight, and it's going to be absolutely amazing. But I had to come to Women Who Win and spend some time with my family and release the word that God has given us today. Are y'all excited about the word? I love y'all. So we're going to John, the 21st chapter, the 5th through the 6th verse. John 21, 5 through 6, and I'm going to read it out of the NIV today, if that's all right. Let's all stand together. All right, we'll do it. We're going to do what we do together. We win together. We stand together. Y'all loosen up. Y'all good? Y'all know I'm like Pentecostal holiness, so I might jump off the stage. You know, I have to get it. I might scream a little bit. I need y'all to scream back at me. It's all right. You know, it's all right to get a little wild sometimes, all right? The 5th verse says, he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. God bless your word. You can have your seats. And I honor our apostle today, Apostle Hilliard. I love you, Dad. You're rocking the glasses. I love your glasses, all right? So the year was 2002, possibly 2003. I had been driving my gold Ford Escort since my senior year of high school. It was my first car. I loved it so much. I remember riding around my hometown of Jessup, Georgia, with a car full of people. I got Jessup folk in here. Hey, girl. I'm still trying to figure out how in the world we got so many girls in that car. Anyway, that car was good to me. As long as I kept the oil changed, everything was just fine. I'm going to take a sidebar right there because I heard Holy Spirit say to me as I was writing this that some of us simply need to make sure we keep our oil checked. When was the last time you had an oil change? When was the last time you did a soul search of anything in your life that has come to contaminate your oil? Look at your neighbor and ask them, is it time to have your oil checked? Is it time to have your... It's time to clear out anything and anyone who has come in to try and taint your anointing. I feel this in this room. Some of us gonna leave this conference and we gotta go cut some people off because they've been contaminating our oil. They've been contaminating our oil. I feel Jesus. Now back to my story. I was riding good, living my best life in my Escort. But one day I happened to ride by a car lot that had the prettiest, shiniest Isuzu Trooper sitting right by the highway, and it caught my attention. Anybody ever been doing just fine, going about your business, everything running smooth, then suddenly something catches your attention and hijacks your focus? Something that looks prettier than what you have, looks more shiny, looks bigger, badder, and better than what you have. And as soon as you engage it, as soon as you give it your attention, your time, and your energy, you find out real quick that you have made a huge mistake. You start thinking thoughts like, man, I could have done bad by myself, or I was doing better without this issue. They used to say it like this, the grass just looks greener on the other side. Anyway, I saw this trooper, and I just had to have it. It grabbed a hold of my soul, and it wouldn't let me go. I dreamt about it. I daydreamed about it. I had to have it. I went home. I told my mom and daddy that I saw this car that I really wanted and that I wanted to trade in my faithful, committed Ford Escort for this used, water-damaged, poor engine, shiny Isuzu Trooper. Of course, like most mothers in here, my mother immediately said no, because the part of the story that I neglected to tell you is that the car that I wanted to trade in on this shiny piece of junk was in my parents' name. Though mama was giving me an absolute no, my father did something really strange. He said, if she wants the car, I'm going to let her get the car. Mind you, I had never made a move without an approval from my father. I had never bought a thing without an okay from him. I had never made any life-altering decisions without a word from my father. But this time was different. He basically said, I'm going to sit this one out and let her try this one on her own. She wants to do this one without a word from me, so I'm going to let her go ahead and do it. How many times have we launched out in our own and done something without hearing a word from the Father concerning the situation? That's a dangerous place to be in. It's one thing to make a decision to just go ahead and do something outside of his will, but it's another thing to have never asked his will in the first place. I felt like I was grown. I feel like I was grown enough to make this decision on my own, and that's just what my father allowed me to do. Can I tell you that before I could drive the car off the lot, it was breaking down on me? About 2 weeks after buying the car, I was over it. I refused to drive it. Anybody in here who knows me, I can be a little stubborn sometimes. I looked at that car and said, I give up. You're not going to defeat me. I'll never drive you again. So the car just sat in the yard until my brother stole it and decided to drive it himself. It was just that terrible. Here's the part that I like about this story, and I pray that it blesses you. After letting me make this bad decision, after letting me trade in his perfect Escort, after having to allow me to drive his cars for weeks, finally, my father stepped in and said, in order to fix this, you're going to have to do X, Y, Z. And don't worry, I'm going to coach you through every step. After I handled my business with this lemon car and waited for things to clear up, my father then walked me through the process of purchasing a car that was right for me, and he didn't leave me until his promise was fulfilled. I came to talk to two groups of people today. One group of us made a few decisions that spiraled our lives out of control, got us off focus, and set us off course. And the other group of us, we've just been in a posture of waiting. Waiting to see when the reward from our sacrifice is going to show up. Waiting to see when the prophecies and the promises are going to come to pass. Or we're waiting on our nets to be filled. I came here with one purpose, and that was to tell you that the wait is over. No, I need y'all to get more excited than that. I need somebody to scream it in this room. The wait is over. The wait is over. I need you to say it until your situation starts to respond. Look at your sister and tell her, the wait is over. The wait is over. There are some promises that were spoken over your family that you haven't seen yet. Well, I came to declare to you that the wait is over. There are some promises that were spoken over your businesses that you haven't seen yet. And I came to declare to you that the wait is over. There are some promises that were spoken over your children that you haven't seen yet, and I came to tell you that the wait is over. Do we have anybody in this room who can believe a prophetic word from the Lord? I'm sorry, y'all, this is all I have. It's all I got. I'm a prophetic preacher, and I came to release you into your next place. Somebody scream, the wait is over. It's over. It's over. And I heard Holy Spirit tell me to tell you that Jesus is going to stay right there with you until you get it. Yeah. Some of us have been saying before we came to this conference that it's been months since I felt the tangible, undeniable presence of God. Well, I came to tell you that he's here and you're about to experience his presence like never before. The wait is over. The wait is over. let's get to this passage. I love this story. The story takes place after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The disciple Simon Peter, who was a fisherman by trade. Somebody say that he was a fisherman by trade. Remember that he denied Jesus during the time of the crucifixion. Now that Jesus was back, Peter wasn't completely sure if he still held a special place in Jesus' heart. I must take a moment right here and let somebody know that there is no place you can go, nothing you can do, no crime you can commit that would cause Jesus to turn his back on you or deny you his love. He loves you. He died for you. He was resurrected for you. And if that was all you needed to hear in order for you to give him your whole life, we will stop this entire service right now just for you. Somebody give God a praise and lift up a praise in this room. If you were living in a world of sin and the blood of Jesus saved your life anyway. That's a tired praise. I need somebody who's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He reached down in the muck and the miry clay and got you up out of that sick, sin, sick situation and saved your life in spite of your life. Somebody give God a praise in this room. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. So because Peter wasn't sure if he still carried any weight as a disciple, he decided that he would go back to his old job and take a stab at it. When Peter told a few of the other disciples that he was going out to fish, they told him that they would go with him. I feel another sidebar. Make sure you got some friends who won't leave you alone in your low place. This is a women's conference. Make sure you're surrounded by people who will be by your side when you're being challenged with the cares of life. It doesn't say it in this text, but I just believe that these other disciples weren't so concerned about catching fish as they were concerned about Peter's well-being. The Bible says that they stayed in the boat all night long, but caught not one fish. Let me tell you about me. Right about the third or fourth hour, if I wasn't concerned about catching fish, I would have been saying, all right, this ain't working. I'd have been like, all right, maybe we could try this tomorrow. But it seems that these disciples weren't as concerned with catching fish as they were concerned about their brother. Make sure you're surrounded by someone who's your ride or die, brothers and sisters, who won't leave you alone when you're at your lowest point. Make sure you have some friends in your corner who will wait while you're waiting. Oh, my God. Anybody ever had people who were good with you when everything was going well and things were flourishing, but the ones you trust, the ones you can trust are the ones who have stuck with you while you wait? If you got some ride or die sisters with you, I just need you to give them a high five and tell them, I'm going to sit with you while you wait. I'm going to stick it out while you wait. I'm not going to be one of those going with the winds, going with every wind of doctrine that comes. If you going through something, then, baby, we going through something. I was about to say something else. If you're going to fight, then I'm going to fight. That's the kind of people I need in my life. Listen, I'm getting too old for the shaky ones. I need somebody that's going to be there. That one right there with that pink sweatshirt on, she going to ride with me. That's one of my ride or dies. The fifth verse says, he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. We live in a world of social media. Sometimes it can be good, but when it's bad, it's bad. Can I be honest? Sometimes I get sick of it. Here's the truth. Nobody is ever going to post their failures. So here we are comparing our lives to the life people show us on social media. But it's lies and deceit. The truth is that everybody has failed at something. Everybody has made a bad decision here and there. Everyone has had to repent for something. But because of this false world of social media, it has made it so difficult to live a life and be honest about your flaws, weaknesses, and failures. We have somehow succumbed to the pressures of living in a false reality. In this verse, Jesus reality that they were failing at something they were trained to do. They were failing at something they had once thrived in. There are people in this room, if you just be honest, are in the same place these disciples were in. You are sinking in a place where you once thrived. You have skill, you have the knowledge and the talent, but for some reason you just haven't been able to catch a break. I came to tell you that Jesus is about to get involved. Oh, somebody say that Jesus is about to get involved. He's about to get involved, and he's about to make you face the reality that this will never work without his presence. He's about to make you be brutally honest with yourself. Some of us have started the business and can't get it off the ground. Some of us have started writing the book, but for years have had writer's block. Some of us have gone to school, secured the degree, but can't get the job. Jesus is saying, you can trust me with your failures. You can trust me with the embarrassment. You can trust me with the anxiety. I hear him saying, I won't scorn you. I won't hurt you. Just let me get involved. Woo. You've been waiting out here all night, and it ain't working. You've been waiting out here for years, and it's not working, but let me get involved. Somebody lift your hands and say, Jesus, I invite you into my situation. Come in. Have your way. Help me. Help me. Help me, help me. I feel that right now. I cast down that spirit that refuses to ask for help. Some of us need to go back and ask some of our family and friends, you know what, I've been real stubborn, but I just need you to help me do this. Ooh. All right. The sixth verse says, he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So my husband is very organized. He likes to keep everything in its place so that he's sure not to lose anything. We are always in and out of hotels in our travels, and because I'm the slowest of the two of us, there are times he just has to help me pack, all right? Most times he is the one who makes sure all electronics, iPads, computers, phones, cords, all that kind of stuff is packed up. And he has this fancy way of wrapping up cords that always drives me crazy because I can never figure out how to unravel them. So most times I get frustrated and I'm like, babe, I can't get this cord unraveled. Why do you keep doing this? His answer is real simple, that in wrapping the cord like this, it's less chance for the cord to get damaged and it's actually easier for you to access. How? He then pulls the cord out and simply pulls on one end of the cord. And voila. Voila. But me, it has taken me 2 years. I'm always like, what is going on? Do y'all see that? It looks like a knot. But actually, he's just put this one little piece there and you unravel it. There was an important lesson in this for me. I would literally be frustrated because the more I tried to unravel the cord, the more it would tangle up. I was always thinking, how could he possibly think this is the best way? Had I just gone to him to get some instructions, life would have been so much easier for me. I came to tell you that Jesus is about to give you the formula. Oh, somebody speak that into your world. Jesus is about to give me the formula. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. I'm talking to some people this morning. You tried to figure it out. You've tried 12 steps and Google. You've tried everyone's suggestions. We have been trying it our way and wasting our time throwing our nets on the wrong side of the boat. But God is about to tell you how to throw your net on the right side. Somebody scream, Jesus is about to give me the formula. Now, this was a hard pill to swallow because I know we want to hear that Jesus is about to come down off of his throne and do it for us. But I love that Jesus stood on the shore and gave them instructions on how to do it themselves. Come on, we're not babies anymore. Yes, he's going to be right there with you, but he's not going to do it for you. I'm not the best cook in the world, but my husband eats it. I found that if I follow the recipe step by step, my cooking tastes just as good as the person who wrote the book. I came to tell you that within the next few weeks, God is about to start speaking to you and giving you divine instruction, and all you have to do is follow the recipe. Give somebody a high five and tell them just follow the recipe. He's about to give you the formula. All you got to do is follow the recipe. No more whining, no more complaining, no more falling out, no more getting frustrated, no more getting attitude. Get on your knees, get in the face of Jesus, and while you're at his feet, he's about to give you the recipe that's going to help you fulfill your dreams and your purpose. Somebody lift up your voice and give God a shout in this room. While you're in your prayer time and begin to write down what God is instructing you to do, because I declare that as you write, you're going to see these things come to pass in your life. Does anybody believe the word of the Lord today? When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. It is mind-blowing the amount of people who reach out to me saying, what's the formula for what you do? How did you do it? How did you accomplish that? And my answer remains the same. I just want to please the heart of God. I need to stay at his feet to receive instruction for my life. It is the enemy's job to keep us off focus and distracted. He understands that if we ever posture ourselves at Jesus' feet, we will receive wisdom on how to move forward in our purpose. In this passage, we aren't dealing with some amateurs. These men were professionals and very skilled fishermen. Can I tell you that no matter how much education, knowledge, or experience you may have, your understanding is nothing without divine instruction from the Holy Spirit. It is indeed possible to achieve success with just education, knowledge, and experience, but there is another level of favor that is placed on your life when you allow God to give you the formula for greatness. As I was preparing this message in the spirit realm, I felt many of our hearts in this room. People have considered you the underdog. People have counted you out because of what you don't have and what you lack. But I came to speak a word from God today, letting you know that Jesus just skipped you to the front of the line and your wait is over. Y'all ever been to one of those theme parks like Disney World? That's terrible. Like, the lines are like 3 hours long. But they have this thing called a fast pass. God just downloaded a fast pass in the spirit. Y'all ain't praising him right. God just downloaded a fast pass in the spirit. And I declare that some of us who felt like our time was up, God is saying, no, you're just about to get started. I'm moving you to the front of the line. I'm putting you in front of people right now who have been waiting, who've been talking about you, looking back at you, saying they ain't gonna never do it. They ain't gonna never make it. There's no way they're gonna get up here. But God is saying, I'm gonna jump you to the front of the line. Somebody scream, fast pass, fast. You got a fast pass. Yes, Lord. The latter part of this verse says that they caught so many fish that they were unable to haul the fish in. I'm about to shout, y'all. Can I tell you that the plans you had to carry this harvest aren't big enough? Go back to your plan. Go back to your plan. Rip it up and write out another one, because what's about to come is bigger than what you expected. I'm going to say it over here. I said, what's about to come is bigger than what you expected. And the net that you have will break if you don't go out and get you a bigger one. Somebody say, I'm expecting something bigger now. I'm expecting something greater now. I need you to go do a bigger plan, because God is about to give you something greater. Dr. reach, I heard God say to me loud and clear, yes, I'm going to do everything through New Light that I promised the apostle, but the thoughts that I think towards you are bigger than that. Can we just take a moment and give God a shout of praise for the fresh wind of God that is about to blow through New Light? Somebody give God a praise for the fresh wind of God that's about to go through, come through New Light. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, I'm causing a fire to start burning in your spirit. And as you speak, it's like little fires are going to begin to catch hold. One of my friends told us the other night, I hope I say this right, he said, if you set yourself afire, people will come from every nation to watch you burn. Where is New Light in this place? Can I get y'all to raise up a praise? I declare that a fire like never before is about to hit this house, and God is drawing people from the north, the south, the east, and the west to watch this fire burn. There is something peculiar about this house. The Lord says from the moment that I established it from the earth, I have caused there to be something peculiar about this house, and people will watch you from every nation. They will glean from you from every nation. The Lord says what I've caused you to establish in the earth, pastors are watching you, not just female pastors. Pastors are watching you. The Lord says I am making you a template. And they will come from near and far. I even hear the Lord say, Pastor, oh my God, can I do this? I heard the Lord say, Pastor Tina, I'm going to cause you to raise up schools of administration. People will come to hear you teach them how to do administration at their churches. And Pastor Prashia, the Lord says, if you do what I tell you to do, they will come. He said, they will come. He also says, I need you to finish the prayer journal. There are people who are waiting on this journal to come. I see 365 days of not just prayer, but you will teach them how to write their own. Ew. I'm sorry, y'all. I had to do that for a moment. Can we raise up a praise for the Hilliard family who for many years have been examples? And I got one more. Apostle, the Lord said to me that you will live to see everything that he promised you. He said you will live to see everything he promised you when you established this ministry years ago. The Lord says, I've not forgotten, and you will see it with your eyes. Oh, come on, y'all. Give God a shout of praise in this room. I got to get out. This is the last thing. I'm sorry. I have to read this. I wrote this down this morning, Dr. I. He said, I have given you keys in this city, in government, in entertainment, and in finance. He said that to me this morning. I was on a plane. I was trying to go to sleep, and I couldn't. I'm going to say it again. I've given you keys in this city, in government, in entertainment, and in finance, and you will see it come to pass in Jesus' name. Somebody shout if you believe the word of God. Oh, I just felt a shift in this house. I just felt a shift in this house. My final point is, Jesus is about to show me what crazy faith can do. We're talking about men who were trained to do this, men who were skilled at fishing, men who had done this for years. They knew the tricks of the trade. They knew the rules. So if Jesus was telling them to do something that worked for catching fish, don't you think that they would have tried it by then? Sometimes faith means you have to trust God when he tells you to do something that doesn't make sense. I can imagine that it didn't make sense to toss their nets on the right side. I'm pretty sure that they had exhausted all of their tricks and tried every way that had worked in the past. Let me ask you this. Can you trust God when he asks you to do something that doesn't make sense? I remember 2006. I was in ministry with my father. I was doing awesome. I loved it. I knew the sound of the house. I knew his vision. I knew when he stood up, what he meant. I knew when he shook his head, what he needed. The Lord spoke to me in 2006. He said, you have 4 months to move to Atlanta. Why? I'm doing good here. Traveling up and down the coast, singing at different churches. I'm comfortable. The Lord said, you have 4 months to move to Atlanta. I had nothing in Atlanta. Nothing. Not a job, not a house. And I told y'all about the car. So I'm like, what? Why would I do that? I was in a foggy place because it didn't make sense. My cousin called and she said, William Murphy is doing something in Atlanta. I think you need to be there Sunday. 4 months to the day was a Sunday, but I was going to leave on a Monday because I wanted to go to church and get my checks. I gave my life to this church. Y'all going to pay me. She called. I wasn't listening to her, so she called and told on me. She called Mama. And Mama called me. Sometimes we can talk them away. I was like, Mom, I ain't doing it. I'm going on Monday now. At least give me some money. I'm going into the oblivion here. So anyway, needless to say, I got home. We hadn't spoken to my dad all day. He called me in the room. I said, yes, sir. He said, baby, the Lord said you need to be in Atlanta on Sunday. My God. So I packed up my bags and went to Atlanta on Sunday, but they mailed me my checks. 4 months to the day was a Sunday in September, right, Mom? Sunday in September, I walked into this art museum. William Murphy was up there preaching about I don't know what. I was just so confused, like, why am I here? Worship leader got up and she started saying, I want to be where you are. Gotta be where you are. And immediately the Lord said to me, if it makes you uncomfortable, do you want to be where I am? I lifted my hands and I said, God, I want to be where you are. Gotta be where you are. And from that moment until this one, God has continued to escalate my life. He put momentum behind me because I gave him a yes in a foggy place. I couldn't see it, but I knew what I heard. I couldn't understand it, but I knew what I heard. Sometimes you got to trust God when it don't make sense. Who am I talking to in this room? Woo! God, we trust you today. I'm trying to finish it. Jesus told Naaman to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, and he was healed of leprosy. That didn't make sense. Jesus spat on the ground, made mud, and put it on a man's eyes, and he was healed of blindness. That don't make sense. Can I tell you that you've been waiting long enough? You've pressed your way through the dark season, and morning is here. I came to tell somebody that weeping may have endured for a night, but joy is here today. Woo! I don't have... Joy comes in the morning. Jesus is standing on the shore waiting to coach you into your overflow. I feel something special happening in this moment, and I got to just flow with it. This is how I do, y'all. I'm talking to some women in this room. God gave you some instructions years ago, and I declare that you came to this conference to receive the push that you need in order to launch out and complete the assignment on your life. Who am I talking to today? I need you to lift your hands in the air and say, God, I know I gave up on that thing. I know I swept it under the rug because it wasn't working out like I thought it would work out. But his thoughts are not your thoughts, and his ways are not your ways. I need you to lift up your voices and tell him, I can trust you with this. I trust you with my children. I trust you with my family. I trust you with my businesses. I trust you with my ministry. This is my last testimony I'm going to share, and I'm done. It was probably 3 years ago, 4 years ago, maybe right before we got married, about 3 years ago, I called Mom, and I was going through some challenging issues with my finances because when Break Every Chain released, I was not set up financially to carry what was coming in. Y'all stick with me. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Uncle Sam... he wanted his money. And I knew I was getting married. I didn't want to bring this weight into my family situation. So I was trying to fix this thing, and I kept running up against some hard stuff. Like, God, every time I try to fix it, more comes in. Thank you for the more, but help me deal with my immaturity years ago. So I walked through that season. I talked with mom, and sometimes you just need people to help encourage you. Everybody ain't going to rescue you out of your situation. I wasn't calling my mother. I wasn't calling Pastor D. I wasn't calling Mom Hilliard to say, I need y'all to help me pay off this IRS. No, I need y'all to get on your knees, pray, help me, tell me what I need to do to get out of this situation so I won't be here anymore. So for 2 years, babe, right? He over there like, what is she about to do? I'm sorry. I told him. So for 2 years, we walked through this season where we just had to get it together. Like, we got all of this coming in, but I can't allow what I did in the past to hinder the blessings that God is sending us right now. So I need to figure this thing out. We need to get this thing in order. Well, I came to testify today that for 2 years we've been leasing houses. They were great houses, but they ain't belong to us. Some of us can get so comfortable living in a comfortable space that ain't got your name on it. Balling out of control in somebody else's house. That's what I've been doing for 2 years. But we got that thing together. And so after working through this, my husband, we moved to Greenville. We love this city. We decided, hey, this is where we're going to stay. This is where God wants us. And so we started looking at houses. Houses that we didn't even know. Maybe. So my husband rolled by this house, going to get his hair cut. Hurry up, Tasha. And the house was beautiful. He was like, babe, I need you to see this house. So I was like, okay, let's get in the car. We'll see this house. He wasn't really in love with the house. He just wanted me to see the house. So he know his wife got bougie eyes. Like, I can see bougie from a mile away. Some of y'all that like that. Like, oh. So I saw this sign. And it had nothing to do with the house that he was taking us to. Somebody told us the other day, he the head and I'm the neck. So he was looking at one thing, but I turned our head another way. So the sign was up there, and I was like, ooh, what is that sign talking about? We rode about a mile up the road. There was these beautiful beams. I said, baby, we need to make a right here. Bougie eyes. I saw some bougie beams. I said, my God, these are some nice beams. And I said, baby, I need you to make a right there. So we made a right. We started driving into this, I don't even know, it's not called a subdivision. It's called something else. I don't know what it is. It's just everything. It has lakes and trees and all of these amazing houses. And I said, what in the world is this? They try to get away from us. But we found them. So, you know, I got the boldness of God. At this point, I'm like, hey, what can I, if all they can say is no. So we parked our car, Bishop, got out, walked right on in the little model home. I said, hey, how are you? My husband said, I'm Kenneth Leonard. This is my wife, Tasha Cobbs Leonard. The lady was so nice, so kind. I didn't know what God was doing. I was just going about my business in the fog. You know, me and Kenny have gotten comfortable walking in the fog. All right, whatever you want to do, we're right here with you. So we started talking. The lady took us on a tour, and she was showing us all of these other houses. They were great houses. Amazing houses. Showed us all of these other houses, but it was this beautiful white, what is it called, babe? The brick? Lime wash brick. Big old house. Just, I said, what about that one? Still had people on the roof working hammers and all that. She was like, oh, well, that's going to be one of our model homes and blah, 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 blah. She moved on, showed us another house. I was like, what about that one? She said, well, if you want to go look in that one, we can look in that one, but I have to warn you to be careful because they may be nailed. I said, I don't care. Let's go in that house. We walked around that house, and the enemy let us put our feet on the ground. I started walking around that house. I said, you know what? This is my theater. This is my master bedroom. This symphony room. That's Alana's room. That's Nehemiah's room. This is my husband's office. I had been dealing with it. I told y'all what I was dealing with. We worked that situation out. God honored the fact that we planned and prepared. And so we went to a lender. I said, look, this is my house. Do what you got to do. My husband said, baby, you want this house? You're going to get this house. How long did it take us, baby? It wasn't even a month. 4 weeks. Linda called us back. He said, I got everything you need. Do you want this house? I said, that's my house. The builder called us, said, hey, I want y'all to walk through this house. Everything in the house is, I should let you tell this. It's an iHome. I can walk in the house and say, turn on the stove. I can name my house Leonard. Leonard, I need you to turn on every light in this house. I need somebody in this room who has faith to believe that when you step out in a foggy place with Jesus, he will never lead you astray. My husband and I right now are the owners of a white lime washed, beautiful, amazing brick house that belongs to us. Somebody say, it's got my name on it. I need some women in this room who says, I'll step. I need you to just take a step with your eyes closed and say, God, if you instruct me to make a right, I'ma make a right. If you instruct me to look at these beams, I'ma look at those beams. If you instruct me to walk through this house, I'ma walk through this house. I will go with you in the fog because you will never let me down. Somebody raise up a praise. I came to tell you your wait is over. You've been waiting on some stuff that God promised you. You to step out in the fog, get your stuff together, get your woman on, and walk right up in that place and say, I stand on the promises of God, and every last one of them are yes and amen over my life. Open up your mouth and give God a shout.
My God, two phenomenal women this morning. First Minister Clark came on and told you, be careful what you speak. Then Tasha Cox come on and said, speak it into existence. Whatever you want, you stand on it and you speak it out into the atmosphere and trust God to make it turn around for you. Romans 10:9 is the overcomer scripture. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9 says, you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's just that simple. No, it's not going to be easy. Yes, you're going to go through, and the enemy's going to fight you even harder when you surrender your life to Christ. Hold your hands up and say, Lord, here I am. I can't do this anymore without you. I need you to guide me. Surrender to him. Now that you said yes to God, let me give you three keys. First, get your Bible. King James, NIV, get you a Bible. Two, find your church home. If you go in, sanitize your hands, mask up, be careful because the virus is still out there, but God is bigger. You can also join us on Op House on Facebook, 10:30 on Sundays and 7:15 on Tuesday night Bible study. Three, make sure whoever you're under is not only preaching the word, but they are walking the word. This is very critical since you surrender your life to Christ. Remember, nowhere in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation says it's going to be easy, but it did say, have faith the size of a mustard seed. You can do anything once you let God drive you. Remember, when you become a new creature, all things are passed away. God is right there with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But be mindful what you speak out of your mouth. Women, your husband is right there. Let God send him to you. Don't look for him. Men, God is going to show you who your wife are. Remember, finding a wife is a good thing and find favor with the Lord. That's the word. Just because she cuts up and look good now, but can't she pray? Just because he look good and smelling good, can he pray? Those are the things you need to pay attention to. Trust God always. He will always guide you in the right direction. Link up with God-fearing people that walk what they talk. That's what you need to think about. 2022 is coming up. The devil didn't took enough from us. It's time for us to stand up, get in position, and take it back. Yes, you went through, but hold your head up, dust yourself off, and you're going to be okay. Remember, if you need blessed oil, text me, 832-519-7646. If you're in the Houston area, I will meet you and give it to you. If you're not, I would definitely mail it to you. text me, 832-519-7646, or you can email me at worldwidegospelconnection@gmail.com. Remember, you're not in this by yourself. Once you open your eyes and give God thanks, put on your helmet of salvation to protect your mind. I say this all the time. Once the enemy attack your mind, he thinks he have you. But oh, but there's power in the name of Jesus. Stand on that. Don't fold. Your blessing is around the corner. Hope you guys had a blessing, phenomenal day. And hope both of the women of God bless you on today. Minister Clark, again, we thank you so very much for coming on and giving that word. Know that we're praying for you, and it's your season. You guys have a blessed day, and tune in tomorrow for Freestyle Friday. We have an entrepreneur that's coming on tomorrow. Be blessed.